Welcome to The Issue Is, Fox 11's new political show talking what's hot, what's important, what's affecting you. I'm Alex Michelson. This week, The Issue Is, the race for governor. After campaigning hard for more than 24 hours straight, Democrat Antonio Villaraigosa is still awake and with us live.
Looking forward to it, Alex. Let's see how if I'm bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Also, our one-on-one with Chung, John Chung, California State Treasurer, also vying for the state's top job. And our panel on the big stories, the governor's race, Roseanne plus Kim Kardashian at the White House. Joining us, KABC Radio's Leanne Tweeden, KNX 1070's Dick Helton, and Occidental's Caroline Heldman. The Issue Is starts right now. And thank you so much for joining us. With just days to go in the race for governor, polls show Democrat Antonio Villaraigosa in the fight for his political life. And don't just take my word for it. Here's the headline from today's LA Times. The mayor campaigning for more than 31 hours straight. And as part of that, he's here on The Issue Is. So good to see you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for honoring the commitment to be here.
And the jury's in. Yes. I'm not bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Yeah, how are you feeling? How tired are you? Talk to us about this journey you've been on.
I'm actually not tired. I'm fired up, and I am because I met so many great people along the way. I was at Grand Central Market. I was at two metro stops. I was in every part of the city and places I've been to many times. There were a couple of good luck charms there that I've done six, now seven, 24-hour runs. This was 31. So it was a great time just interchanging with people and reminding them to come out and vote on Tuesday.
And that's some video of you on that run for the last several hours. So let's talk about where things are at right now. Most polls show Gavin Newsom pretty far ahead, shows you and John Cox, the Republican, in a dogfight for number two. Now, the question is, are we going to have a Republican versus a Democrat or a Democrat versus a Democrat? Gavin Newsom, when I talked to him, told me it's better if we have a Republican versus Democrat because then we don't have Democrats spending hundreds of millions of dollars potentially going after each other. What do you say?
Well, you would say that in your head, and virtually every pundit, Democrat and Republican, criticized that notion as cynical. The fact of the matter is, we should have a debate about the future. You're not going to have a real debate with somebody who has no shot of winning. John Cox is never going to be governor of California. The math isn't there for him. It's a very blue state. So I think it would be important for this state for us to have a conversation about what we're going to do about the fact that the state is the fifth largest economy in the world with the highest effective poverty rate. We have a homelessness rate that we all have to ask ourselves, what are we doing that we have so much homelessness?
You know, so what are we doing that we have so much homelessness?
Well, I tell you, we're not treating it like a crisis. And as governor, what I've said is we got to give cities back the money we took from them for redevelopment dollars for affordable housing. We got to have a housing trust fund that says to cities, you got to have you got to put up your own money. You have to plan for homeless, workforce, affordable, transit-oriented development, ADUs, granny flats in the backyard. But you also have to streamline permitting and zoning changes because we're just not building enough units in this state.
Another big issue is that of education. Some of your biggest backers are supporters of charter schools. You've had big donations from Reed Hastings of Netflix and Eli Broad and Michael Bloomberg giving millions of dollars to an organization that is backing you. What do they want for that money?
Well, the other candidate also has millions of dollars backing him by independent expenditures. I think what the people are going to get, not them, but the people of California, is a man who's going to be focused on education. And the best way to know that is to see what I did as mayor. When I became mayor, one out of three schools were failing. There was a 44% graduation rate. I challenged the city and said, this city won't survive, much less thrive, with that kind of a rate. I took it from one out of three to one out of 10 schools failing, from a 44% graduation rate to 72%. Political Fact looked at that and said, you know, I wasn't exaggerating. It's true. The fact of the matter is about 83% of our kids are graduating. If you're poor, it's 70%. If you're an English language learner, it's 64. The next governor's going to have to grapple with the fact that the reason why we're not growing together in this economy, there's two Californias, one rich and one poor, is we're not focused enough on education. And that means early child education, all the way to college affordability.
Another big issue is that of transportation and of traffic. As mayor, of course, you built light rail here in the city.
Three light rail lines, one busway, more than anybody in the United States of America.
But traffic is still such a big issue. Well, so what does the traffic look like? What's the solution there?
Well, look, I also tripled the number of left-hand turn signals, stopped construction during the rush hour. We have what the quintessential city of sprawl. People live in the outlying areas, and the jobs are in the inner area. So that's what transit-oriented development's all about, bringing housing closer to jobs so you don't have the kind of traffic that you have. The fact is, there are 4 million people in this town. There are 10 million in the county and 18 million in the region. So as mayor, I did more than any other mayor with respect to addressing public transportation particularly, but also the issue of congestion and the like.
Let's get something called the policy issue. These are issues that don't probably get enough attention, but we want to talk about it. So you get to pick one of these cards and pick it randomly and read it out and tell us what you think.
Marijuana. How is the marijuana experiment going and what can be improved? I think what's being very clear is that the law hasn't been implemented. The people have spoken. Whether you agree or not with that initiative, the fact is they've spoken. Many of the cities aren't complying. They're very slow in implementing this law. We still haven't banked, figured out how to bank the marijuana proceeds. And so what you have is very little in terms of revenue that was supposed to come actually coming to the Treasury.
Yeah, and of course, you were the only candidate that admitted that you had smoked marijuana, and a lot of people were wondering if other people were being honest when they answered that question. let's go to something called personal issues. This is where we got 30 seconds to learn a little bit about you and have a little bit of fun, too. So you ready? Okay, here we go. Favorite pie?
Apple.
Star Trek or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Favorite Star Wars character?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi. Meal you cook the most?
Meal I cook the most, it was chicken.
Okay, last movie you saw in a theater?
Black Panther.
First concert?
Three Dog Night.
Favorite newscaster?
You.
Okay.
Kissing
at least,
up.
At least you got the last one right. Thank you very much. Well, something else that is today. It's National Donut Day. And I know you got to stop by Randy's Donuts. I think we might have a picture of that. So that's a lot of fun with
Villa Ragosa. They made the donuts in
so we know you're on hour 31, so we wanted to help you out to get some sugar. So DK Donuts gave us this donut right here. It's red, white, and blue, American flag style, just for you. And there we go. How's it feel? Is that going to get you home? I need some sugar,
it's
right?
It's going to give me a sugar rush.
Yeah, we both do. Mayor, thanks so much for coming
Thank
in.
For
Best of
me.
Luck to
Thank
you, you. On Tuesday. Great to see you. John Chung has won statewide elections multiple times, but he struggled in the polls for governor. A recent issue of the widely read L.A. Downtown News endorsed Chung for governor, the editorial saying, quote, Chung is not the flashiest candidate in the race, not even close, but it adds that his 8 years as state controller and 4 as treasurer makes him the best prepared to helm a diverse state with a $190 billion budget. John Chung recently joined us here in studio. Okay, so you're the treasurer, so let's talk about the budget to begin. The governor recently announced $8 billion in extra money that he wasn't accounting for. First off, how do you just find $8 billion extra dollars, and what do you think that money should go towards?
Well, strong positive news. We know that a decade ago, this state was being written off by people throughout the United States, mocking California. I was trying to keep California afloat as the state controller. Our economy had dropped, and we learned last week that California is now back up to the world's fifth largest economy. We ought to put some of the money aside, but then we ought to be investing in the critical issues. For me, the most important priority is education. We have a homeless and housing crisis in California. We should be spending some of those monies in those areas.
Do you think that California has gone too far when it comes to the sanctuary state bill? And what do you say to people who say maybe it's time to rethink what you're doing?
No, we took the right step. We ought to affirm the fact that this is a state of great diversity, of built on the backs of not only the Native Americans, but the immigrants. Somewhere along the line, most of us are products of people who came to this country. We want to protect those values. We also want to protect public safety, but I believe that we ought to protect the California Values Act.
Yeah, okay, we want to do something called the policy issue. These are issues that maybe don't get a lot of attention. Of course, the rape kit issue is one of those. And I want to see You get to pick one of these.
I'll let you pick the most vexing question you have.
No, you pick. Okay. You pick.
I'll go with number one. Let's see. Behind door number one.
Okay, it says education. Does California have too many or not enough charter schools, and why?
Well, the charter schools are here to stay. We need to make sure that they're held accountable, right? No for private for-profit charter schools. That's absolutely, we shouldn't be using public taxpayer dollars to line the pockets of those in the private sector. We need to make sure that the charter schools, like traditional public schools, have disclosure of conflict of interest, greater transparency, making sure that they follow the same rules and regulations. And so I think that levels the playing field and gives everybody better access.
What do you make of the fact that Antonio Villaraigosa is getting $8.5 million at least from charter school advocates? What do you think they want from that money?
Well, it's clear what they want for that money. And then I think it's right. This race, unfortunately, like so many races, has turned into one of the special interests. Some of Gavin's special interest supporters are attacking me today because my numbers are going up in the polls. And, you know, we know Antonio's special interests are pushing their particular interests. It's time.
So where are you guys different on charter schools, policy-wise?
Accountability, transparency, no for-profit.
Okay, let's talk for a moment about the personal issues. This is where we get to have some fun, right? Get to know a little bit more about your personality. And we're going to put 30 seconds on the clock and ask you a bunch of questions. Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Dog or cat?
Love dogs.
Favorite book?
Youth Fahrenheit 451.
Favorite band or musician?
Bruce Springsteen.
Me too. Favorite quote or motto?
Let's see. Saint Francis of Assisi, all the darkness in the world cannot extinguish the light of a single candle.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
One thing you bring to a deserted island?
Passion.
Woo! Beer or wine?
Well, I get gout with beer, so wine.
Okay.
I love beer, though.
What is your passion? Tell me more about that.
I love hanging out with my family and friends. So at the end of the day, I think most people, you know, you have this incredible gift. I have parents who made extraordinary sacrifices.
Well, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it, and best of luck to you in the race for governor.
And thank you for your mom for making those cookies and brownies.
Oh, yes, my mom made cookies for the green room, so I'm glad you like them.
I'm gonna try one now.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to The Issue Is. Time for our panel. Leanne Tweeden, a morning news anchor for KABC Radio. Dick Helton is a morning news anchor for KNX Radio. And Caroline Heldman is a political science professor at Occidental College. But after this, she's probably going to be a morning news anchor.
She'd be great.
What's up, radio station? Good to have you guys here.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about the governor's race first. We just had on Antonio Villaraigosa and John Chung. Any thoughts on what they had to say, or any thoughts on where the state of the race is right now? Maybe Dick.
Well, I was interested to hear Antonio say that John Cox will never be governor of California because math doesn't add up. Let's not forget that Donald Trump was never going to be president until the math added up.
Right. Yeah, but Donald Trump has a 70% negative rating in the state of California. I think it's a much harder battle than it would be with an electoral college in a 50-state fight. I don't see a Republican being viable in this state, probably for many decades. But I think it's interesting that it would be better for democracy if we had Cox and Newsom in the runoff. But if we had Villaraigosa and Newsom, then it would bring more Democrats to the poll because it would be a really interesting race, and it would help in the House races the seven seats that Hillary Clinton won that are held by Republicans that the Democratic Party is trying to flip.
Yeah, because it would probably press Republican turnout in those very districts.
What I like about the top two coming out of this primary going into the end of this year, if it is Cox against what looks like Gavin Newsom's running away with it, if he does beats out Villaraigosa, I like the fact that California, which is so Democratic, people will actually get to see a debate and see another side of an issue. And, you know, on the radio, we hear that a lot. It's like the Republicans, it's almost 2-1 in registered voters, Democrats to Republicans. Actually, the Republicans now are the third party against independents, like as far as registration in California. So I just like the fact that we're going to hear a different side in a state that usually don't hear that.
Although I'd be curious to see how many debates Gavin Newsom would actually agree to in that situation.
He doesn't like to show up until the big one.
Here's the thing about Cox. So if he does get on the ticket, if he manages to make it to the top two, watch the Republican money flow into California, because one of the reasons Donald Trump is backing Cox is because he wants to get the voters to come out in the general election to vote for those congressional candidates. Yeah. That's the whole point
of
this.
And I think that they will come out. That's the thing. Republicans typically do come out in primaries in bigger numbers. And in California, if Cox does make it, and makes it to that runoff, I think the Republicans are, I mean, the numbers are, you know, but plus, if Democrats don't turn out and the Republicans do, you never know.
Plus the gas tax also repeal on the ballot, which is also going to drive out Republicans. All right, let's talk about the other big issue of the week, and that's Roseanne and also Samantha Bee and these controversies over whether comedians say too much. Samantha Bee referring to Ivanka Trump, the president's daughter, using the C word on her show. Mm. Some people calling for her to be fired now. What do you make of this, and what do you think should happen to her?
Well, so I'm one of these rare people on the left who thinks that gender slurs are as bad as racial slurs, and I think they are both horrible, despicable, deplorable, right? So when Roseanne made the comments that she did, comparing Valerie Jarrett to an ape, which is, you know, overtly racist and dehumanizing and animalizing, condemned it. And then when Samantha Bee came out and used an overt, perhaps the worst gender slur you can use, I also condemn that. I think what is interesting, though, is that Donald Trump only condemned one and not the other. He should have been perhaps condemning both, or better yet, neither, because he shouldn't be involved in making comments about who's hired or fired in the media.
It seems to me that what happens here is that the person that takes the biggest hit is the one that has the biggest spotlight on them when the morning shows start on the East Coast, because that starts the conversation, and then it just makes its way all to us.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like with Samantha Bee, if she was funny, maybe it would have been funnier. But like I think a lot of times comedians nowadays, because politics is so polarizing, if it's your guy or you don't like this guy and you like that guy, they're so mean about it that it's not even funny. Where's the humor? I feel like SNL's gone that way, too. They're not even being funny anymore.
What do you think about Roseanne pushing the envelope in terms of network TV? Network TV, a lot of thought of as pretty bland. Roseanne brought issues back into the fold, supposed to be a representation
she
for Trump voters.
She did it the first time around,
too. And now, because she was sort of being provocative, ends up losing her job. Where do you see that in terms of where network TV is, and also the divide in America in terms of people coming together?
Well, let's just say this, right? She got hired to come back and do Roseanne because I think ABC went out and looked and said, you know, maybe she's touching on the middle America. We haven't had a number one show in like 20 years or whatever it was been. She got 18 million people watching her show in the beginning, live viewers. That's unheard of in this day and age for network television. Mm. So they know she was touching some sort of pulse somewhere across the country. There are millions of people who voted for Trump, whether you like him or not. People tuned in, and a lot of people from the left tuned in, too.
Yeah.
So they had sort of magic. I think they knew it was very volatile, and then, you know, obviously
and probably a lot of people that are upset that she's off the air.
Possibly, although, you know, money talks, right? So at the end of the day, this is all about what was going to sell.
Well, it's like Samantha Bee. She's already lost sponsors. Mm-hmm. People have taken their money back from her show.
So with Roseanne, I do actually think it's actually continuous. It's not that that her comments were an aberration. I think that sort of level of racism is actually what is appealing about her, you know, the appeal to middle America. Trump voters, we know now from seven different studies, had higher levels of racial resentment. So Roseanne believing in Pizzagate and being a Trump supporter and supporting somebody who makes racist comments, I see that actually as being part of her marketing strategy.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there for now. Final question for our panel. We got Election Day on Tuesday. Who are going to be the top two for governor? Your predictions, Leanne.
Newsom, Cox.
In September of 2016, I said that Donald Trump would win the presidency. I have dropped the mic and walked off the stage of predictions.
You were the one. You were the only one. Yeah.
That's good.
I'm going to go Newsom, Cox as well.
Wow. So why do you think Antonio's not doing better in L.A.?
I think that he had a run, but his popularity declined really rapidly, I think because of his family values, some of the activities that he engaged in that voters were not very happy about when he left office.
Well, Gavin's got those things in his closet, too. But
all right. Well, thank you, guys. Welcome to Bonus Issues. This is the digital extra for The Issue Is. We got our panel here, Leanne Tweeden from KABC Radio in the mornings. Listen to her with Doug McIntyre. Or listen to Dick Helton on KNX 1070 News Radio. Are you guys direct competitors?
We are.
You all are. Yeah.
We talk. We actually wake up, leave, get to the studio, and are on the air at the same time in Los Angeles.
So switch back and forth between the two of them. We're not picking sides here. I'm being neutral on The Issue Is. Caroline Heldman's here from Occidental College as well. Take her class. Okay. So we are talking about some of the other issues of this week. Kim Kardashian and President Trump, they call this the other Kim summit this week. Kim Kardashian really being mocked a lot of the tabloids. She's trying to help this woman who has been imprisoned, and talk about criminal justice reform. What do you guys make of this whole thing, Caroline?
Well, I'm torn, right? So Kim Kardashian is using her platform and her access to the president to do something really great. And she was advocating for two women and, of course, the reform of the entire prison industrial complex. But at the end of the day, why is our president spending valuable time talking to a reality television star? Maybe it's because he is a reality television star.
You know, here's my point. Everybody is entitled to have an issue. And clearly, she hit him at the right time because, obviously, on what he has done over the last few days, his mindset is about pardons. So perhaps this will all work out. I think everybody has an opportunity, if they can take advantage of it, to do what they can on behalf of people who may need some help.
And on that point, the pardons of two people that were on Celebrity Apprentice with Donald Trump. Interesting, Blagojevich and Martha Stewart. But, you know, good for her. Whether you're a fan of her or not, look, if she wasn't Kim Kardashian, she wasn't going to get a meeting with the president. He loves that kind of thing. She loves that kind of thing. Maybe she was a little jealous that Kanye got a lot of attention with the president a month ago. You know, she's like, I got to get mine. But you know what? If she's trying to do something for good, whether she's really educated on the issue, I heard she learned about it online. You know, she heard about this woman's plight online. It's like, well, you know, maybe I can do something for her. More power to her.
Yeah.
Whether it happens or not, who knows? But she got it in front of his face.
Yeah, there's probably no other way for that issue to get to the president's face.
Go on Fox and Friends in the morning, maybe.
Oh, there you go.
He does watch that every day.
Yeah. Okay. Let's also talk about the congressional races back here at home. On Tuesday, we've got Election Day. So much of the Democratic focus has been on these California districts, but so many people are running for Congress. Yeah. That we could have too many Democrats. We could end up with a couple Republicans, especially in this Dana Rohrabacher district where this Republican named Scott Baugh, who used to be a good friend of Dana Rohrabacher, is running against him.
Well, here's the thing. Mick Jagger once said, too much is never enough. For Democrats this year, too much is too much.
Yeah.
That clearly, they could lose some of these races simply because they've got too many candidates running against each other.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it speaks to the energy in the state, right? That there is this national energy where more women are running for public office. Donald Trump, thank you very much. But we also see this Democratic energy and the blue wave. So I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that folks are energized and more people are running because they want to get involved in politics.
But in most of the other states, you don't have this top two system. You end up with a Democrat versus a Republican.
Right.
I mean, Democrats could be shut out. The Dana Rohrabacher district, they set up the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee in Irvine just because they thought he was target number one. They may be shut out of that race altogether.
You know, like I said before, when we were doing the on-air stuff, when we were doing the live TV stuff, I just think it's good that in California, that is such a Democratic state and left-leaning, that you might get voices that you don't hear all the time. I think that's when people call into our radio station, you know, they just feel like sometimes their values or their issues are, if you're a politician, doesn't believe your value system, you're not heard, right? So I think maybe this is just something where people feel like they can get a couple of those seats and they're going to be Republican. People might feel like, hey, they're aligned with my way of thinking.
So around the table, do you think that the Democrats are going to win back the House?
Yes.
I think they'd better be very cautious about their expectations right now.
Agreed. I think it's possible, but maybe not.
Yeah, and earlier this year there was the assumption that it's going to happen, just like there was the assumption that they would, Hillary Clinton would win, and that they would win the Senate in 2016.
Don't get too cocky.
Let's talk about the other Kim summit, the one between the president and the leader of North Korea.
Wait, the real Kim, not the Kardashian.
Depends
Kim
on some Kim, the Kim that gets less attention probably than Kim Kardashian. It matters less.
He's probably a fan.
Probably has less name ID. Now it's on again. June 12th, hopefully this isn't dated when you're watching this. What do you make of the fact that this is going to happen, and are you hopeful about it?
I'm hopeful about it. I think that whether it's going to denuclearize the Korean Peninsula, I hope so. I think that's what America is hoping for. You have to talk to do that, and I think there's nothing like face-to-face meeting. I think Kim Jong-un wants respect from the world. Look, we know his background and we know his history, but what has been going on in this country for decades has not worked with him, with his father. Something new has to happen, and I think there's a different approach, and I don't think anything bad can come out of face-to-face talks. It's more than any other president has ever been able to accomplish. Let's see what happens. Let's not, you know, talk about it in a bad way before it even happens.
Yeah. It's not more than any other president has been able to accomplish. Presidents avoid this trap. Kim Jong-un is absolutely not going to denuclearize.
How do you know that?
Because it is too much an integral part of his military strategy. The only reason we care about North Korea is because of his nuclear threat. So you take that off the table, and he no longer has the global power or the interest or the attention, and that's what he wants. And so.
No. I think he
is luring us
world.
There, and Donald Trump, the question is how much of the farm is Donald Trump going to give away? We know that when he gets into negotiations, even though he thinks of himself as a great negotiator, he is a god-awful negotiator. So the question is, how much is he going to concede to Kim Jong-un? He's not going to denuclearize. It's not going to happen.
I think Donald Trump wants to be able to do, as he does often from the desk, have something that he can show to people.
Of course.
Like he does. And then get the invite to Stockholm for the Nobel.
That would be something.
That
meeting itself,
the concept
of those two in a room, though, really is an amazing image to think about. All right, the personal issues. We're going to give each of you guys a card. This is totally randomized, and we're going to see. Give us your answer, and then we'll learn a little bit about you. So, Leanne, you want to start?
First concert. My mom took me to Foreigner.
Okay. Was it good?
At the Capitol Center in on the outskirts of Washington, D.C.
Nice.
Fantastic.
That's great.
And I love rock and loved rock and roll ever since.
Mine is dine in or take out. Yes.
Good answer.
And Dick passed this one on to me. Last movie you saw in a theater would be Deadpool 2.
Oh, right.
How would you think?
How
you like it?
I thought it was amazing. It was really great to see, you know, a transgender character unremarkably just included as a prominent person in the cast, a lesbian couple. I mean, it was kind of the progressive dream in addition to being, you know, a little saucy.
Yeah. All right. Great reviews that movie's getting. All right. Let's talk about the next big issue. This is, what are you looking forward to most? The next big story.
Oh, God, the next big issue. You know, when I get off the air at 10, and you probably feel the same way, it's like by the time I drive home to the West Valley, I think, oh, my God, what other tweet has come through? You're right, because President Trump, nobody has gotten a hold of that man's phone. So something is going to happen. There's like, you got to wake up early, you got to check his tweet. So I don't know. Something that Donald Trump is going to tweet is just going to blow up again.
Nancy Pelosi is the Hillary Clinton of this campaign, and she is the motivator for Republicans.
Interesting. Interesting point.
I think the next big story is the escalating trade war with Mexico and Canada, and also with China.
Interesting point. So we got Tuesday night, election night. We hope everybody gets out there, gets educated. Hopefully a show like this helps give you some insight. Check out our podcast, by the way. We have podcasts with every single candidate for governor, and you can really dig into what they have to say and make an educated decision. So thank you all for joining us for this week's edition of The Issue
Please.
Is. Everybody go vote and have a good one. See you next time.